SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid. Game time decisions live right now. Philly up on the Cubbies, 1-0, thanks to a Bryce Harper first inning home run. The Guardians cashed that Yerfie as well with a 3-0 lead on the Cincinnati Reds. The Milwaukee Brewers strike first against Pittsburgh, scoring in the second inning, still delayed right now in Washington, Kansas City. We'll keep tabs on this baseball board. We got to talk some football. Nobody better than Brady Cannon to help us do that. Brady, how are we feeling here on a Tuesday?
Well, I just got through my initial look at the week four card, and I'm kind of proud of myself, patting myself on the back a little bit. I nailed a lot of these lines exactly where the odds makers have put them. Now, that's not great for betting. You want to have some discrepancy, you know, where you think maybe it should be this and they're posting that. But it tells me that I've got a decent handle on where we're thinking these teams are currently. There was a couple that I was off with, one being the Chiefs and the Chargers. It looks like Justin Herbert's not going to play. I got to dive into that further. The one I was off the most with, though, Kevin, was the Patriots and the Niners. I was kind of teetering with 6.5 or 7 in this game, and I looked and saw that they opened at 10. I don't know. The Niners are pretty messy right now, and I know the Patriots aren't great. I think they were exposed last week by the Jets. We kind of know exactly who they are these days, but I'm going to be looking harder at that one for sure.
Agree, certainly. I think that getting double digits with the injuries that we're seeing in San Francisco right now is a very tempting number. So for you, I'm curious, Brady, when you do the exercise, you try and then set all the numbers before you've seen their number, right?
Yes. I try and keep a blank slate here. I really actually try and protect myself from seeing absolutely anything and go in blind and just come up with a number and see what happens. So
it's funny, but I really made a point to do that on last week's slate. And there were two spots, I just made note of this, where I was hoping for a number, and what ended up being the actual posted number, I was so off, right? But then I look at the results and think, well, was I wrong or were they wrong? Hear me out, Brady. I'll give you the main one. But I was hoping to get +3 with Tennessee against Green Bay because Will Levis is bad. Matt LaFleur is great. Packers had that win. The Titans keep costing people money. I was like, it's not likely, but man, if I could get 3, that would be awesome. The Packers being +3 was so astonishing to me. I ignored what I thought was a good Titans spot and still ended up playing Green Bay just kind of out of principle there where, you know, I for you, if you find yourself way off from a number, right, is the idea almost, all right, you know what, this is great, I've got value, or do you start to say, where am I missing? What information do I not have at my disposal?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kevin. I think it's a fantastic exercise for people to go through, and hats off to you for nailing that one with the Packers. Yeah, when I see a discrepancy, you know, and I'm talking probably anything from 2 to 2 points or more, maybe even a point and a half or more, I just want to dive in further. And even last week, the Buccaneers as 7-point favorites or something like that over the Broncos, I made it 4 or 4.5. And that was correct. The Washington Commanders, I made 4.5-point underdogs. I was correct. I couldn't believe the Bengals were 7.5. So, and the Eagles, I made a 1-point favorite at the Saints. I was correct. I had a really good week last week, and this exercise, it happened to work in my favor. But when you have those discrepancies, I think that is just an alarm that needs to be sounded to dive into that particular game further. Okay, am I missing something? Is there something I don't know about? You know, is there an update to some of these injuries? But that's where I like to kind of get started week in and week out.
Yeah, I agree. I love the exercise. I think it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's I was all over Dallas against Baltimore, right? And I kind of, you know, for a while, I was like, ooh, that was a horrific bet. Then I was like, can I steal this? You know, and that one, though, was more spot than number, right? It's not like I thought that Dallas should be a four-point favorite or anything of the nature. But I thought as a home dog, they were worth a look. And to see them play the way that they did, it does change perception. What's so fascinating, though, is what we've seen from Dallas for the past few years, Brady. When they play a good team, it's almost like you have to overreact to what's in front of them, where you can't use what I'm sure you would kind of consider a true power rating number on Dallas. If they're playing a good team, they're 1 to 2 points worse than that number. They're playing a team like the Giants, they're 2 to 3 points better than that usual number. At least that's been the case with Dak and McCarthy.
Yeah, Dallas is a tough nut to crack, I think, at this point. Now, you look back to week one when they beat the Cleveland Browns. I think we know Cleveland's not very good. And then you look at Cleveland beating Jacksonville. I mean, boy, Jacksonville appears to be pretty bad. Obviously, just getting dusted by the Buffalo Bills on Monday night. But I think that's where I want to go right now, this point in the season, is trying to get a feel for all these teams. And, you know, you go from Cleveland losing to Dallas, from Cleveland to beating Jacksonville, and then Jacksonville having should have beaten Miami with Tua, by the way. What does that say about the Dolphins? I think the Dolphins are a pretty bad team. The other thing is you look at the Seattle Seahawks. They get out to a lead over the Dolphins, who I've kind of decided are not very good at all, and they couldn't put them away. You know, they let the Dolphins hang around for a long. That score, I think that game was closer than that score indicated. The Seahawks didn't tack on a score to make it 24 to whatever it was until late. That game was like 17-3 forever. Seattle really stalled for a while. Yeah. And they've played New England and they've played the Denver Broncos. So is Seattle really as good as maybe like they've looked like or what their record says? So, you know, whether it's Dallas, Jacksonville, whoever, you really have to. I tell you, a team that's interesting when you kind of sort things out that way, Kevin, the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills beat up on the Dolphins, who we're saying are not very good. Mm. They beat up on the Jaguars, who we're saying are not very good. And they did not cover and struggled a bit and could have easily lost to the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are pretty good. And maybe the Bills aren't quite as good as they look, as they looked on Monday night, as they look over the Dolphins. And now they've got the Ravens. I made the Ravens a favorite in this game, and I bet you a lot of people are thinking we're crazy.
Yeah, you know, I think Baltimore is in a really good spot in that game. I think for me, they definitely should be favored. I just think the Ravens have earned that with what they did in Dallas, and all of a sudden, they should have beat the Raiders, and they could have beat Kansas City. That's kind of how things change all of a sudden with them handling business against the Cowboys. I think for Buffalo, I kind of land somewhere in the middle in that through 3 weeks, I don't think anybody's looked more impressive. But also, the three games in front of them is maybe the hardest three-game stretch any team has all year long at Baltimore, at Houston, and at the Jets. And if they go and they win one of those games, 4-2 is great to start a year, but it changes that perception. They win multiple of these games at 5-1. The Buffalo Bills would have a great argument to belonging as favorites in this conference, potentially. Because I'll say this, Kansas City, it's early, but they are having the fraudulent season that everybody called out last year for the Philadelphia Eagles and the year before that, the Minnesota Vikings. The Kansas City point differential, despite being 3-0, is all you need to see. Plus 13 on the year. All of these games had moments where it could have just so easily flipped. The difference with the Chiefs, and we'll get Brady's thoughts on this on the other side, and there's actually some golf as well that snuck up on me that I want to ask him about, and I will ask him about Survivor if there's any human on Earth still somehow in a Survivor pool. But the Kansas City Chiefs.
A couple of them here at Sports Grid. A couple of lucky survivors here at Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh joined by Brady Cannon. And Brady, I was just kind of talking a little bit about Kansas City through the opening 2 weeks of the season. And look, they're 3-0. Give them credit. That's great to be 3-0. But just for perspective for everyone, the record or the point differentials for the 3-0 teams, plus 55, plus 64, plus 30, plus 25, and they sit there at plus 13. We know they have an ability to turn it on, but I know I expected a better version of Kansas City this year, specifically offensively. That's not even remotely what we've seen from this football team. They look just like last year's group, who got by solely on the idea of it's the Chiefs. I cannot envision that works 2 years in a row. I just can't.
Yeah, no, I think you make some great points there. Last year was definitely a year where the Chiefs just kind of sleptwalked through the regular season. And if you look at some of their numbers, their turnover differential was like minus 11. Their penalty margin was like minus 23. For that team to have those metrics and not only make the playoffs, but win the Super Bowl is nearly impossible. And I thought they would actually be a much better version this year than they were last year. But you're right. They should be 0-3, Kevin. There's no way the Falcons should not have won that game the other night. And they had a second chance to punch it in the end zone again after the refs blew a pass interference call on Kyle Pitts when they did score a touchdown on the drive prior. They lose by an Isaiah Likely toe in game one and another pass interference call, again, justified against the Chiefs, against the Bengals, but they end up winning that one by a point. Now, in the Chiefs' favor, they've played some pretty good teams. I think the Falcons, we're starting to realize, are pretty decent. The Bengals, I don't think, are very good. I think the Bengals are probably better than what we saw in week one. They're not nearly as good as what we saw in week two against the Chiefs. They seem to just get up for the Chiefs, like a lot of people do. You know, the champs have a target on their back. But then on Monday night, I think we saw more of what the real Bengals are. But the Ravens and the Falcons, those are two pretty decent teams, and the Chiefs have you know, struggled with them. So again, we're talking about these exercises we go through early in the season here. You definitely have to look at the competition as we try and, you know, put a power rating or put some sort of identity on every team across the board and how we can treat them going forward. But yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, the Chiefs really should be 0-3. What would we be saying if the almighty Chiefs were 0-3? We're 0-3 right now, and they really are that close.
And what I would say is maybe they don't deserve to be 0-3, but they damn sure don't deserve to be 3-0, right?
Yeah.
And I think what happens is the pass interference call that won them the game against Cincinnati was correctly called.
Yes.
It's the fact that then an even more egregious pass interference penalty against Atlanta was not called.
Yeah.
It's just all of the penalty stuff that drove people nuts for a decade plus with Brady in New England has just transferred to Kansas City. And I'm not telling you the league is rigged because that's stupid. And anyone who says that is wrong. That's the nicest.
I think Dallas, we see it more on isolated games too, Kevin. I think we see it more like, you know, if you're watching the Red Zone channel like I do, we don't see all the mishaps and whatnot. But when you have these primetime standalone games, boy, does it stick out. And it's unfortunate. It taints the product. No matter what team it is, it's lousy.
100%. I want to ask you about Survivor quickly, Brady, because I know you're doing the contest show this year. Excellent stuff. Can't recommend people, you know, check that out. But with the Survivor report, you guys change the rundown? I don't know. Do we cancel it? How are people still in Survivor? I cannot believe people are still in Survivor. I really can't.
642 entries. 642 entries are left in Circa Survivor. That is 95% of the pool is gone in 3 weeks. Yeah. It's absolute insanity. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit here in the last two segments. I mean, look at some of these teams. If you're a 5.5-point favorite, forget it. You're going to lose outright. I mean, that's what's happening. The Raiders, the 49ers, the Buccaneers, the Browns, The Bengals, you know, all those teams go down. And then the week before, it was the 49ers again. It was the Ravens. I mean, I can't recall them all off the top of my head, but in the first week, it was the Bengals, and that was kind of tame, right? They were the most popular selection, but there wasn't a whole lot that went down after that. Weeks two and three, it's literally been five or six big favorites that have all lost outright. You know, hats off to Gabe Morenci and Joe Ranieri. They are still alive with an entry in Circa Survivor. And that's where the story is. You know, like you say, the football contest show, what's that segment going to be going forward when we talk about Circa Survivor? I mean, the inherent value of your ticket is already almost $25,000 in 3 weeks.
And Brady, if you have time, I'd love to keep you for the golf. Because there's just so much going on with the football. But what I will say for those who are not in Survivor, whether you didn't enter or no longer in it, don't ignore this. Because, look, at some point a trend will die. But, look, I love putting in the work. I know Brady does. I'm sure a lot of you do. But right now, the early returns, Chiefs, Chargers, there's no work to put in. There's no work to put in. You take the points. If you like, you play some money line, move on to the next game. The Jets, Broncos. No, but really, like, it's you go 7.5. Wow, I think Denver's really bad. And I think the Jets, like, I'm very high on the Jets through 3 weeks. I will never lay that number. I could make the number 14. I don't think I would lay the number, Brady, with what I'm watching in this league right now.
I think I can take it one step further. And Kevin, when we have a matchup where both quarterbacks are weak, that's when you absolutely take the points. There are very few quarterbacks in this league right now that are performing at a high level. When you have, you know, the majority of these quarterbacks, I think that contributes to what we're seeing with these underdogs being so live.
I fully agree with that right there. Brady, gracious enough to stick around. We'll get to the President's Cup next with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're talking golf. First time in a while. Couldn't do it without Brady Canada. That is for absolute darn sure here. Brady, help us set the stage. What exactly do we have going on here with the President's Cup this weekend?
Well, we are at the Royal Montreal Golf Club in Montreal, Quebec, and it is the international side versus the United States. Of course, this is a biannual competition opposite the Ryder Cup. Next year, we'll do the Ryder Cup. You know, so every other year, there's a competition like this. The Ryder Cup is the United States against Europe. This is basically everything except for Europe. So you've got, you know, Hideki Matsuyama and Sun Jae-im and Christian Bezuidenhout from South Africa, and you've got Adam Scott from Australia, and you've got a lot of Canadian presence on this team. Mike Weir is the captain from Canada, and then you've got three Canadians on the team in Taylor Pendrith, Corey Connors, and Mackenzie Hughes. And I kept trying to find a way to bet the international side because I feel like there's kind of this home field advantage this year and this passion from the Canadians that might put them over the top. But, you know, I the more I looked at it, Kevin, I think the price on the United States is cheap. They're a minus 250 favorite. All 12 players on the American side are ranked in the top 25 in the world. The international side has four. Four of their 12 players are ranked in the top 25. So I do believe there's a pretty big mismatch here. And what I ended up doing was I'm okay if you want to lay minus 250. Again, I think that's pretty good value. I think it's cheap on the United States side. And maybe the odds makers are kind of buying into that home field advantage for Canada and the internationals as well. But, you know, so many Americans are familiar with playing in Canada. It's not that far away, right? But rather than laying the 250, the minus 250, I'm trying to thread the needle here a little bit. And I said the United States to win by anywhere from 4 to 6 points. So you've got 30 matches that are scheduled to take place Thursday through Sunday. So, you know, you could have three different scenarios. It could end up being 17-13. It could be 17.5 to 12.5, or it could be 18 to 12. I think the United States wins by a decent margin, anywhere from 4 to 6. And that's anywhere from about 3 to 1 to plus 350. So that's the direction I went. Unfortunately, this competition has not been much of a competition. The United States has won 9 years in a row. This is the 15th edition of the President's Cup, and the United States is 12-1-1. So I think they're going to get it done again, and that's the way I bet it. As far as top United States score, top international score, we can get into that as well. But just as far as a side, I went with kind of pick the exact score rather than just pick the winner.
Yeah, I think you got to it's hard sometimes probably to get to a number like that, Brady. Do you think there's a – if memory serves, the USA underperforms with the Ryder Cup. Do you think there's a little extra motivation for them then heading into the President's Cup here to try and reassert that dominance?
Yeah, you know, maybe, but I just think it's much more of a mismatch. You know, you look at all the talent from, you know, the European pool, Rory and Rahm and Victor Hovland, and now you've got Ludvig Åberg, and, you know, it's not, and plus that tradition has been going on for so long. The President's Cup is a baby child relative to the Ryder Cup. So, you know, you look at guys like Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, who have accomplished so much this season. Are they really fired up about now, you know, winning the President's Cup? I think Colin Morikawa might be maybe, and if you can assign a value to one of these players as quote unquote being the most fired up, which is very difficult to do, but I kind of think it might be Morikawa. Because he's the best player on the planet that never won anything yet this season. So maybe he's still got a little something where, you know, he wants to go out there and grab a prize, if you will. And I did bet on him to be the top United States scorer at 7-1. And then I added Sam Burns at 9-1, too, because Burns has been playing so well for the last couple of months.
Yeah, and those are numbers that I'm seeing now look like some value has been gained. Colin plus 650, Burns at 7-1 there. The expectation certainly is, you know, with all these superstars here for the USA, it's going to be a big tournament. A little marathon there, Brady, a little half hour. We appreciate it. Best of luck with all the contests. And again, let people know when everything airs and where they can catch it.
Yeah, it comes on late Friday night, Saturday, overnight in the wee hours, what have you. But you can check everything out at footballcontestshow.com.
Awesome, awesome. Again, make sure you check that out. Brady Cannon, we appreciate it here on Sports Grid. We've got the Consig Dave Sharapan right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, live with you on Sports Grid. Countdown is on until I'm off tomorrow, and then I'm going to AEW Grand Slam, and I cannot wait. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pumped up. None of you really care about that. That's okay. It's a little rude of you, but I'm excited for it. Let's update your baseball board here, shall we? 6-2, Cubbies. Whoa. A bounce back here as they were trailing early 1-0 in this game. Took a 6-1 lead. Seiya Suzuki with multiple RBI. Let me give Suzuki a shout out for going over his 20.5 home run prop. It was a good year with some of those season-long baseball player props. I had a lot of fun with those. And, you know, we'll get involved with some of those postseason props as well. Last postseason, oh my gosh, was I so angry about this. And, listen, I'm always honest. One of the reasons I elevated my anger towards the teams with byes getting eliminated was my bet on Spencer Strider to lead the postseason in strikeouts. I mean, what, he have one start? He couldn't beat Arizona. That didn't make any sense. Or the Phillies, whomever it was, that bothered me. But we're going to get a lot of good markets when the baseball playoffs go around. And I know Dave Sharapan is hunting. He's lurking. He's waiting. He has Steeler gear on. Way too much Steelers for me on a Tuesday night, but it's still good to see you, Dave.
I heard Blewett come on. I had something else planned, and I heard Blewett come on. and described the Steelers as having no style. And I said, this can't be. And then I heard Brady talking about making numbers and all this other stuff and things going on. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to change right now because there's only a few 3-0 teams in the league. There's only a couple.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, there sure
it's nighttime in Pittsburgh behind me. And it's all right
here.
I don't know. Everything's coming up Pittsburgh,
there might be a 3-0 cursed.
Huh?
There might be a 3-0 curse. They might all be bad.
Huh?
I'm not sure.
Panthers. Panthers, who I don't even like. They're undefeated.
Come on.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
It's a Panther.
Woo!
No.
How about Penn State?
Oh, now.
What?
Hold on. All right.
Whoa.
You're moving me. This is what you're doing to me, right? I'm zooming around the room. Like and I'm trying to think about what do I want to grab and catch. And I'll be honest with you. I want to go Penn State.
Can we
he
go
knows
schemes?
It. Stop. Throw it out. Let me just tell you, they eliminated him from the Cy Young a little quick, if you ask me. I'm just being honest, Dave. The kid's the ERA's under a two. I mean,
under
what
two.
Else do we got to do? The Jackson Merrill. Cut it out, this Jackson Merrill.
Please.
Enough. With a 290. What's the BABIP? I don't care. All right, hold on. Easy. Composure. Composure, structure. We got to play in the pocket. We got to play in the pocket. All right.
All right. Stay in there. Come on.
You mentioned the 3-0 teams. Yes. There's a market.
Yes.
Final team to remain undefeated.
Oh.
This is a market that is heavily favoring the Kansas City Chiefs at a -120 price.
Wow.
+480 Buffalo, who's a dog this week. 5-1 Minnesota. Dog this week, 6-1 Pittsburgh,
who's
slight favorite this week.
What?
Seattle, 8-1, a dog in Detroit. When you see that market, Consig, what do you think?
I want to know who made that number. I want to know who's responsible for that number. That's the first question.
What's
that's the first order. I look over and say, hey, Walsh, are we in a room? Did right side make that number? What's going on? Are we in the wide receiver room? Are we in the lineman room? Where are we at?
Yeah.
Listen, the Chiefs are going to win, aren't they? They're going to win. They're playing Easton Stick. That's why they're the favorite.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about them second and third choices there. Minnesota's got a tough game in Green Bay. Buffalo's got
sure
a tough game against the Ravens off of perfect Monday night performance. There is nothing to take away from the Monday night game, except two things. Buffalo's for real. They're in the discussion, again, as the best team, not only in the league, I mean, not only in the AFC, but in the league. They can run the ball. Look out. And Jacksonville, I'd argue they're in big trouble. I mean, I don't know if you look for them coaches to get fired, you know, first one to fire, but it might be him. They're in big trouble. The Steelers going to the Colts, this is scary, K-Dub. Like, I'm going to listen to the rhetoric all week, and I don't know. I don't know yet because they're doing it with style. I would argue, and if Blewett was right here, you know I love Blewett, I would tell him, Mike, you're Mr. Style. You walk around. You sleep with a pocket square in your every night. I believe he has a pocket square in his pajamas. He knows about style. Defense is style. They got the best defense in the league. One, two, or three, there's no argument. Homer, call me whatever you want, and I got
Steelers.
That defense is style, is it not?
Well, hold on. Let's put this on the table, all right? If you are calling Dave a homer because he says Steelers are the best, one of the three best defenses in football, you're crazy.
Crazy.
You're a crazy person.
Come on.
You're a crazy person. Heading into the year, I would have told you they were the second best in the sport with only the Jets in front of them. I've found out I'm very high on the Jets. And what's funny is I didn't place Jets futures, but for 3 weeks, I guarantee you I'm higher on the Jets than almost anyone you know is what I would pretty much say.
Are you still there? Has anything changed to change your opinion about it?
No. I wasn't as high on the Jets preseason as I am through 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I'm, I've been looking at some numbers. I've been looking at some numbers. I'm not, you know, I don't know if I need to give up on the Miami stuff. Probably.
Oh boy.
Probably. Yeah. It's that bad. Hurts. It's bad.
It's bad.
You know, we talked with Brady about making numbers. It was funny, but you and I last Tuesday had a conversation about that game in Seattle. And I was like, man, I was hoping I could get seven. And we kind of laughed like, yeah, that wasn't happening. They did blah, 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 boom, 4.5. Well, I'm glad everybody bet it because I didn't bet it. I'm not betting a bad number. 4.5 is a terrible number. Skylar Thompson, for me at least. Now, I wasn't going to lay it with Seattle. I didn't get to that side. But Miami now, Tyler Huntley.
Oh.
Again, what are you doing with this team if you're in the room?
It's brutal. These are the hard ones. When you don't know, with the quarterback situations, usually you get to like week 6 or 7 where this becomes an issue. And it's a great exercise. Yeah. And I've told people this for years, literally decades. Make your own numbers. And you'll find where you're right and where you're wrong. Now, when you're wrong, that doesn't mean the odds maker was right. That means the outcome led it to be right. You have to continue the process. And as you do, your numbers will likely get closer to what actually comes out. But, you know, there was a number in the summer for every game in the NFL. And you can go get that now. I have mine here that I referred to before every week because the advanced number comes out here in Vegas a week before. So you get a much better shaped number than you do in May at the draft. Those numbers are all over the place. I mean, think about the college. Michigan was a 10-point favorite against USC. By the time that game kicked off on Saturday, K-Dub, it was 6 the other way.
I mean, yeah, Danger Man Alex Orgy, though. I mean, come on now, good number. That kid almost covered a 10. He almost got Michigan team's frisky, man. That team, I'm just telling you.
Can he throw?
Hey, not really. Not really. That's all right. That's all right. We're not worried about that. We're not. Yeah, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, getting down that field. That's how it
big
looks,
place.
Baby.
Big place.
I like that Michigan team. You alluded to the Jaguar struggles.
Yes.
We're going to look at their outlook and a really interesting week 4 number. Dave, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are an absolute mess. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 11-1. You have the worst record in the NFL. Comparatively, to win the AFC, they are 41-1. That is not how things were supposed to go for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dave alluded to the first coach fired market, which I don't know, maybe up north I know you could possibly get access to.
Yep.
I know it exists somewhere kind of thing. Doug Peterson could very well find himself as the first man chopped. It's on the board. I won't say it's won't. It's not. But, going into Monday night, doing some look-aheads, I said, man, you know, Cincinnati, Carolina, can I get 3, 4, maybe 4.5? And I saw Jacksonville, Houston. I said, can I get 7? Here's the thing, though, right? See, last week I asked for numbers and didn't get them, right?
Right.
Well, what happens when you actually get the number you want? Jacksonville plus 7's out there, Dave. Probably. You know I don't place bets till Saturday night, Sunday, though, so maybe by then it'll be 6.5. I'll leave it alone. I'll probably buy low Jacksonville. They're not as bad as they looked in that game. Are they?
Oh, boy. I don't know, K-Dub. After watching them, I don't want much to do with them. I really don't. That's a team that's in total disarray.
Yeah, but isn't that the recipe? Like
that is, usually. But this is a different year. This is one of those years, and you talked about it a little bit with Brady with the Survivor. We got a couple people left with the survivor out here. The teams that are going to be picked against most are right there. Tennessee, Carolina, and the Patriots. Can't pick against the Giants no more because, you know, like my buddy the Shrew, he's watching us right now. He said, too much Pittsburgh stuff for a Cleveland guy. Cleveland's a mess. Look at that number, 20-1. They could go bad in that division. They could be in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But survivors are going to go against Tennessee, not this week, actually. This will be the game the Dolphins win. Yeah, how can they be a pick'em at home against the Titans? Nothing makes any sense. The Red Rifle just came out to Vegas, took everybody's money. Took everybody's money. They just, Panthers came here, the game went, flew over. People making business decisions. Antonio Pierce riled everybody up out here. They're going, what did he mean by that? Are they going to cut somebody? Are they going to trade Devontae to the Jets now? Does he want out? The local news is incredibly nuts right now over this team and what Antonio Pierce said. But I'm telling you that third team down on that list, I mean, it got to be, if you're looking at worst record, how many more games are the Patriots going to win? I mean, seriously, and I don't mean to just besmirch the Patriots and my co-host Matt on Bostonian versus the book. They got a good defense. They got no offense. None. And at some point in this league, KW, you got to score. I mean, the right. Steelers are doing it. 3 touchdowns and 3 wins.
Yeah, New England's terrible. They might be the right side, though, in the Bay. I'll tell you that. We're lurking, is what I would say. We're lurking. Let me bring up the Major League Baseball board here because, again, Dave Sharapan always keeps tabs on the Major League Baseball board, and he'll be live with you on In-Game Live tonight to place some live action. We know that. Live right now, we've had a few games join the window. Baltimore striking first against the Yankees as they are now up 1-0 in that game. We are scoreless in Toronto, Boston, Miami, Minnesota, Atlanta, yes. New York. Tell me, Dave, what were you looking at heading into tonight's baseball slate?
Can't wait to watch the Dodgers and the Padres because the Padres have got everything going the right way. Another nice price on them tonight. So me and Wetzel will be focused on that. The Tigers already run, K-Dub. You know what I'm doing. After Sunday, I've been out looking around, shopping the prices for different things, for the exact this and future prices on the Tigers and who in the American League is actually going to win that wild card. And when I looked down today, I was like, all right, we got to talk about a couple different things. I guess it's the Mets. Like the Mets and the Braves is another one that I think the Braves have to sweep them. And knowing that, I want to bet the Mets every day because I don't think the Mets are getting swept. So it's today the day the Braves win. I mean, they're in the second game, second inning, still scoreless. The other one I think we have to mention, we're contractually obligated to mention, the Chicago White Sox. You and I and everybody else in the content space is hopefully going to remember that summer that we got to spend talking about the worst team in baseball history. And they're home against the Angels today. Some books have them at a minus for maybe, what, the 10th or 11th time all season? Come on.
Right.
Like the kids like to say, bro, that can't be. I guess it is. I don't know. We'll be watching it.
I think the most tempting thing for the White Sox, you really want to send them off in appropriate fashion, will be betting them each game against Detroit. Because you're going to get an even bigger number than you would expect, knowing that Detroit needs all those games.
Yeah.
Detroit's going to be minus 200 every game, no matter what? No matter
what? On the road. On the road. At least. No Scooble. He's not. He got his win today. Sit down.
Hold on.
Get us home.
Give me
the games don't mean nothing.
The final game.
20.
Final game, Tigers needed Scooball's on the mound. Hypothetical number. They throw cannon, Chicago. Tigers minus 380.
It's over $3. I don't know if we could get that high on the road. Although, that's actually a good thing because they're going to bat 9 times. I mean, come on.
No, Detroit's up. Please.
That's what I'm saying.
Detroit's home in that game.
No, I thought the White Sox are home all week. No? It's games in Detroit? We might have to approach
380, good number.
Wow.
Ah,
no, we might have to use four.
I'll tell you this. Wheelman smart, man. I'll bet him at four on a Sunday, too. What am I doing? We'll be right back with your game time decisions. Oh, my gosh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. Kevin Walsh, Dave Sharapan. Dave, let me ask you something. Where do you think your focus will be primarily tonight on In-Game Live?
Oh, my. We'll be all over the baseball. I had to put the listening glasses on.
All over the baseball.
You say I have to ask you a question. I have to get ready for this.
Yeah.
So I will be watching the baseball 100%.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be looking ahead to some unbelievable college football games. One, I can't get enough of this Georgia and Alabama game in line and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Wetzel and I will be discussing that amongst other things. But I know what it won't be on. And I know this is what you're going to hit me with. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
Little basketball?
I would say all season, Dave and I have spoke kindly to the W. So I want to add that clarifier. But tonight, the W, despite having their two best teams in action, in the playoffs feels secondary. And that's because tonight, they don't get to brand it as our playoffs begin. Instead, they began Sunday, which leads me to my question. What? Now, Dave,
why?
I know it's hard for me to ask this question and then ask you to answer it as nicely as possible, but the betting handle on the opening day of the WNBA playoffs, which was a Sunday in September, looked like what?
Let's see. What could it be? President's Cup?
Tough question.
Like there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
And no one even asked for it in the book. I was in the book on Sunday. Wasn't on any of the TVs. There wasn't. I walked around and I said, maybe somebody's got it on their own individual carousel. They didn't even have it on. And it is a shame. Because there's betting opportunities, and then the last game was the Aces.
It's so upsetting.
And I actually got to watch some of it. But you're right.
Yeah.
We devoted a lot of time to it all summer. You guys do it. Casey does a WNBA show. JY's on here all the time talking about it. You're following it.
Yeah.
All these markets. And then they open up against the NFL on a Sunday. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Truly, like, I don't bring this up. We know this. There are people who love to take shots at that league. This is coming from a completely different place. I really enjoy the WNBA. That was the case before Caitlin took the world. But I was at the game the Aces won the title last year. I'm a legitimate fan of the WNBA. That is so upsetting. They just cut the momentum out in a way that is like unimaginable. Now I upset myself on the way out. I shouldn't have done that. I'll tell you this, though. You might end up having to tune in to Liberty Dream because Atlanta's up near double digits here trying to snag one on the road.
That's not like an in-game play? Hello?
4.5 on the Liberty. Uh-oh. Big total, $167 and a hook.
Okay.
It's a big number. So that might be a live under.
Big number. That might be a live in play.
Loving a hook.
Liberty aren't losing a game. Can't be losing this game, can they? Come on.
Defense ratchets up, live under. Can't be the only one thinking it.
Right. I got 5.5 here, 168.5. Any value? What do you think before I get out of here?
I think under.
You know Wetzel's going to lead think with under. It. He's going to hit me with it right out of the gate. I don't know.
That sounds,
Rutgers football on Friday night. Rutgers.
Should I go?
Yes. Yes, only because I got the kids there. They're working it. The daughters, you can. We'll have you set up carte blanche, whatever you want.
Oh,
yeah.
Make a couple phone calls. All right, Dave.
That's a fundraiser.
Clear the schedule.
Fundraiser for the kids. All right. So you're set up. You just let me know.
All right. Yeah. We'll make that happen. Good as always, man. Enjoy it. In-game live. He's right around the corner. We're going to leave you with this. We're going to get in the mix as we get out of here. And I got to tell you, folks, it's been a delightful Tuesday. Appreciate everybody that stopped by. Great to catch up. With kind of the regular, I own a bar and all the regulars come in on Tuesdays. Dave comes in, Brady comes in, Joe Madden, Coach, right? We got to cut Coach off probably like a little earlier than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's sizzle that under Liberty Dream 172.5. I'll see you on Thursday night.